Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special audio training for PBIC Gold members, Pet Business Inner Circle. I'm your host, as always, Dom Hodgson, but today I'm joined by a very special guest. You'll recognize his voice from the podcasts, from the many videos that we've shot together, and if you've been to the boot camp, you'll also have met him as well. I'm talking, of course, about Dan Kennedy. No, it's not. Well, hello there. It's my old friend, Alex the Video Guy. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Dom. How's it going?
Good stuff, yeah. So, we've had you on a few times talking about various aspects of video, and we produced a course together, you know, the Kickstarter.
Yes.
But with your book out now, I thought it'd be a good idea to revisit this and really talk about some of the specific videos, aspects of video making, and some of the real specific videos that people should be producing. You know, the things they need to have in mind when they're producing the video. You know, because as we both know, we'll share them in a minute. But we've made a lot of mistakes along the way. I made a lot of mistakes with video along the way, and could have produced a lot of good content anyway. But we could have produced way better if only we knew what we knew now. Hey,
yeah, definitely. That's exactly the point, isn't it? Is that like video can seem there's kind of a big barrier to entry with video. I think a lot of people think that anyway. You know, it's a complex thing and it's time consuming and it's potentially expensive and stuff. And so like the videos that most businesses do create kind of don't really hit the mark because they're a bit sporadic and they're a bit non-strategic, and they're just a bit like scattergun almost. Oh. You know, and I think that's where there's like a big opportunity for a lot of for you know, the few business owners who do want to take the time, who are willing to take the time to like plan them a little bit more, so that the videos they're making are like highly targeted and highly strategized and have like a very specific purpose, each of them. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today.
Cool. So people will go away from this with a bit of a plan of action, yeah, a clear plan of action of what they. Obviously, they should have a copy of your book too, because that will give them more details, won't it?
Yeah, this is all lifted straight out of the book, so definitely.
Yeah, but it went into the book because this is what you think, this is what you recommend, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's probably the most important chapter of the book in a way, I think.
Yeah, and worth us spending an hour on talking today, I think. Yeah. We want them to quickly get to, you know, producing the right kind of video. Yeah, as you said, maybe we'll start talking about that, won't we? Maybe, yeah, talking about some of the mistakes that I made. I was your typical someone who was really keen to get stuck into video, wasn't I? But didn't really know what I was doing about.
Yeah, and the same with me. You know, it was like, I mean, I think a lot of people know. Dom was my first client, and yeah, admittedly back then, like neither of us sort of had, we were making good videos for sure, but you know, compared to kind of what we do now and the planning that goes into them and stuff, they were kind of worlds apart really, weren't they? Yeah. So yeah, why don't we start with that? Like let's talk a bit about,
I'm going to top my tea up, but we're powered by Suki tea.
we are indeed, yeah.
We'll talk and drink tea at the same time, so yeah, you talk.
Okay, yeah, so while Dom tops his tea up, so when we first started making videos, Dom had an online store selling doggy products. And that was the part of the business that you really wanted to grow, wasn't it? And get the products out there. And we were just speaking before we started recording this that like the videos we were creating, so the, you know, product reviews and like little looks at how to use the physical products and stuff, and the pros and cons and like little buying guides and stuff. Like whilst on the surface they are great, and you know, that is the type of content you want to be creating if you do have physical products and stuff, your own physical products. In our case, ultimately, we were making videos essentially for the other brands, weren't we? You know, we were kind of bigging up the brands that you were selling and selling all the merits of that, rather than talking about you and your business.
Yeah, I think you're dead right there. Yeah, we didn't. The sort of angle that I wanted to take with it was, you know, we're the people who are using these products daily, you know, so we're using the toys, we're using the treats, we're expertly placed to tell you which ones you should buy, you know, and so hence we went down the kind of product demo route. We've even got a couple of the first videos that we ever shot, I think, haven't you? Have you got that? Are you going to
I'll stick those.
Are you
going to
give them a sneaky peek?
For sure, yeah.
When you look at that, you know, you can see that we're just kind of winging it. Hopefully the enthusiasm and stuff comes through too. But yeah, I think really I thought that was going to be enough, you know, I thought that was going to be enough to like differentiate me from the other stores out there who weren't doing that kind of thing. But ultimately what I was missing was definitely putting more of me into it and my personality and just talk, you know, just my stories and stuff, you know, so what we ended up producing a lot of videos that were really good for the brands that, like you say, we were doing, but from my point of view, from my business, with hindsight, it wasn't probably worth my while spending as much time, money and effort into creating a great promotional piece for a brand that I was going to make maybe 20% on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, that was my, you know, my fault as an inexperienced business owner, you know, 5 years ago now, wasn't it?
Whatever. Yeah, so, that's it. Yeah.
Well, not quite as long. We're quite a while away.
Near enough. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And again, so like, again, that's not to say that product demo videos and stuff are bad, because they're really not. In fact, you know, if you sell products yourself, they're some of the best videos you can have, because you're helping people from day one then, aren't you? You know, with like how to use them and like, you know, how to get the most value out of them and all of that. But in Dom's case, it was like, you know, there were a lot of videos like that existed already, really.
Yeah.
And it's not exclusive products to you.
No, it wasn't.
So yeah. So
people could watch the videos and then just Google it and find the cheapest one elsewhere, you know, because I didn't have enough personal buy-in. But you're right in what you say. The videos were popular. I think the Kong video that we did, you know, describing the different sizes of Kongs to buy, that's still one of my most popular YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's right.
The Roughwear stuff that we did, that actually got us noticed, didn't it, by Roughwear?
That's right.
They hired us both and to, you know, produce videos for them, you know, for their stuff, which I think did that go in their stores all around Europe and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it got translated into a couple of languages and stuff, and it was like an internal staff training video. So yeah, it was, I think with that situation, it was a bit of a mix of like us not really having the right type of content, but also, you know, since back then, you've kind of ditched that side of the business and you focused on other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those two things ultimately led to us taking the videos and the content in a different direction.
Yeah.
But it's a good point actually that you mentioned that, because there's like a few lessons in what Dom's just said there, you know. By doing things like product buying guides and things like that, you're helping people immediately then, aren't you? And you're not just saying, hey, come and buy my stuff. You're like, I want to help you buy the right stuff, which in itself is like a really powerful sort of video idea. So I think there's a lot to be taken from that. And then also the fact that, yeah, like you say, Roughwear sort of came across our content and then said, oh, we love that. Like, can you create some content for us? The lesson in there is that like you never really know who's watching, and that the more content you've got and the higher quality it is and the more boxes it ticks, it could lead you like anywhere, basically, you know.
Which I guess once we get into this deep dive into this funnel, you know, these ideas that you're going to be sharing, that's going to lead, if people follow that formula, you know, and with whatever they're doing, they're going to not only make themselves more attractive to their ideal clients, but like you say, it's going to open up potentially a lot more doors too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get stuck in then, shall we? Let's get stuck into the idea. So as I say, this whole chapter is like, despite the wordy title, it's just about looking at the customer journey, okay? Because most business owners will all of their video content will be designed kind of for everyone. And it's just designed to get out there and to, you know, spread the message of the business and, you know, tell people how wonderful they are and all the rest of it, which is fine, but you'll probably see better results and get a greater return on your investment with a bit of strategy by thinking about, you know, where is my customer, where is my audience in the sort of journey, because no one, you know, comes over to your business and immediately sort of becomes a customer, do they? They have to go through a process. It might be quick, or it might be drawn out over like months or years even.
Depending on how great their need is, I suppose, at the time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. And like I said in the book, you know, making video content that is just kind of catch-all, it makes loads of assumptions about the person watching. It, you know, just to list a few, like you assume that they know who you are, they like your personality, they trust what you do. You assume that they've got a problem that relates to the thing that you're offering in the first place, which they might totally not. You know, you might completely miss the mark in that respect. And you assume, kind of most importantly, that they are in a buying mindset there and then, because that's what most people do. You know, it's like, here's the video. Hi, I'm Alex. Would you like a video? Do you want to buy my shit, basically? And it's like the percentage of people who are going to be in the right frame of mind and the right position to buy something there and then is very, very small. So why try? You know, why bother doing that when you could instead not only lead them through a better process, but kind of help them sooner as well, rather than just kind of being salesy. So with all those assumptions in mind, you know, if you think about the actual journey that your customer goes through, someone who's going to become your customer, they start off as someone who's a complete stranger. So they've never heard of you before. They've never heard of your business. And they may not even be aware of the problem that you're aiming to fix.
They may not even know they have a problem.
Exactly, yes. Which is probably a subject in itself, you know, because there's kind of the two levels there. But the most important thing is that, they don't know who you are, and, you know, there might be some ambiguity around the problem itself. So I think the kind of content you should be creating for them should be based around that. You know, you need to step into their shoes and think, okay, if I'd never heard of me before and I'd no idea what I did, what kind of video content could I create that would help explain that? But obviously, again, as I said previously in the book, not only that, but you need to create content that's ultimately going to be interesting to them or helpful or something, you know? Huh. Far too many business owners, they do the right thing in the sense that they make a video saying, hi, I'm X and I do Y and Z, which is great, but most people probably don't care. It's like the harsh truth of it. What do you think about that kind of that angle?
I think you're right. I think from our point of view, we're obviously marketing. We're big into marketing, aren't we? So we know this process, and it's almost old hat, isn't it, now that we say, well, of course people don't necessarily know enough about us yet to want to buy from us. But if you don't know that fact, and if anybody watching this now who's kind of, you know, very new to marketing, they might have been new to videoing or whatever, or business even, but they might be new to marketing, you know, you make the assumption that, oh, well, I've got a thing, therefore people must want to buy this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and because I'm a nice guy and because I'm, like, really professional at what I do, like, why wouldn't anybody want to buy this thing from me, you know? And that's how most people go into business, you know? And it's how most people go out of business as well, because they wrongly think, you know, just because they've got something that someone might want, that they're going to buy it from them, you know? And it don't work like that. There's the process, isn't it, that the buyer, like you say, the buyer has to go through the know, like, and trust process, and you have to start, especially now. I mean, Jesus, even compared to when I'd first started, Facebook had just arrived really then.
Yeah.
But you know, there was none of the people were probably blogging back then as well, but video certainly wasn't anywhere near as big as what it is now. But now with all these, like, channels and all these ways that people can view your business, you know, the more helpful you can be to them.
Yes.
About, you know, whether your service is even appropriate for them, you know, it's just you're going to immediately, like, elevate yourself in their eyes, aren't you? You know, and the guard's going to come down as well. Because if people think you're trying to sell them something, then immediately the guard goes up, you know, and they go into, like, a reluctant buyer mode where it's like, oh, bloody hell, he's going to try and sell me something here,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you approach it from a helpful point of view of, like, this is, and there are loads of ways to do this, not just video, you know, your blogs, podcasts, we do all the different ways of doing it, but video is a brilliant way to demonstrate it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think spot on there. And all of that should be consistent throughout all of your marketing, as you say. And kind of linking on nicely from that, like, so I say in the book that, you know, if you've created content that is immediately kind of salesy, essentially you've turned yourself into one of them people on the high street with, like, all the leaflets who's trying to get you to sign up for whatever it is, you know, Adopt a Panda or whatever, which is all fine, you know.
I'll take one.
there's nothing wrong with adopting pandas and stuff, but as a marketing technique, like, you know, I think 99% of people hate getting collared in the street, you know, when, because we're not there to buy, are we? We're in the, might be in the town to buy somewhere else, but we don't want to sign up to something there and then. We're in the wrong frame of mind and the wrong location, and there's other stuff happening, and that's all basically the metaphor for what you're essentially doing online. You know, if you're immediately going from that, it's like, hey, come and buy my stuff, and people are just like, no, I don't want to, I don't care, I've got better things to do, I'm not on this platform right now to buy something. You know,
Dan Kennedy describes it quite well by saying that you want to be the welcome guest. You know, you want to go from being unwanted pest to welcome guest, you know. So how can you whatever you can do to position you as the welcome guest, the provider of information, the helpful help, you know, yeah, the helpful giver of advice, all these things are gonna, they're gonna make you a welcome guest. People are gonna feel like they've discovered you then, you know. They haven't discovered you because, you know, you were in their face saying, buy my shit. They've discovered you because you put out that really useful thing that they got some use from, which then led them to want to find out more about you, you know, which you talked about with the band thing, didn't you? You know, with the...
Yeah.
When you stumbled across them and...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's exactly right. So just to reiterate that, like, really quickly. So a few weeks ago, I was asked to film this particular project. It was like a guitar clinic where these two sponsored guitarists would be coming down to a music store in the UK and like talking all things guitar and doing some demos and stuff like that. I couldn't film it, so I asked another filmmaker to do so for me. And when I was watching the footage back, like this one, both of the guitarists, but one of them in particular, I thought, like, this guy is amazing. He's such a good guitarist and I really like him as a person because we had the interview and stuff. And I had to kind of find out more. So the first port of call was Google. So it was like, okay, Google, Wikipedia page, learn a bit about the band and stuff. And then the second port of call, as is the average, you know, is YouTube. So YouTube, and I went and searched for this band. And on their official channel, which was, again, the first place that I would naturally go to find out a bit more and watch a bit more content to do with them, they had a documentary on there that was like an hour long, and it covered them recording their latest album. And it was a brilliant insight into the band. And it was really personal, really engaging, lots of stories told and like their backgrounds and how hard it is in the music industry and all the rest of it. And I was like completely gripped, and it was such a good insight into the band. And as we talked about on a podcast we recorded recently, like I said, how brilliant would it be if more business owners had something like that, you know? Some content out there that was, doesn't have to be an hour long documentary, but some, you know, that was the first thing, ultimately, pretty much the first thing that I'd seen of that band. And it completely, like I said to you, I became a fan overnight, basically.
Yeah.
Liked the music, and then that was like sealing the deal kind of thing. So kind of linking on from that and from what you just said, you know, at the stranger stage, you know, when you're looking at creating content for people who are complete strangers, you need to start by thinking about who they are to start with. So it's a good idea to like create an avatar, which you've probably already done for your business as a whole anyway. So you can just kind of, like slide in from that. And also think about like, what problems are they facing? What are their goals and their aspirations? What things are they struggling with? What's like the problems and the pain points? All obviously relating to the thing that you're offering. And what kind of content would they find entertaining or interesting or helpful? Because as you rightly just said, Dom, like if you create content that's really helpful to people, you're going to immediately stand out and they're going to think, you know, thanks, Dom, for that bit of content. That helped me out, or that was entertaining or something. So that's where you need to start with the strangers, and that's the kind of content you should be creating for them.
So that's a stranger phase, yeah, where they don't know anything about us. Well, what comes after that then?
Yeah, so after that, I would class people as like visitors. So the traditional sort of view is someone who's like visited your website or something, you know?
Yeah.
But in this day and age where things like social media and things are a bit more complicated than they once were, I would kind of class a visitor as someone who has like taken an action on your content of some description. Yeah. So this could be someone who's like liked your post or has watched 80% or more of the video, or or has visited your site. You know, you can be as defined as you want, but it's basically someone who is a more qualified and thus a kind of higher value prospect than just a complete stranger. You know that they're at least somewhat interested in the thing that you're offering. And so at this stage, the content that you create for them is kind of similar, but you can start to move towards the kind of selling phase, I suppose, for want of a better term, because you know that they are more qualified. They've kind of put their hand up in a very subtle way and said, like, yeah, I'm listening, you know?
So would this be like the stage where you would like offer them something as like a part of a lead generation model?
Yeah,
I
would say, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And again, at this stage, we're probably not talking about like the core service, the core thing you offer, something ancillary maybe that is attached to that. So whether that be like a free download, a report or a training series. More information. And what you're trying to do at the stage, as you kind of alluded to there, is to get them to like explicitly put the hand up and say like, yes, I'm interested in that, you know? Because at the moment, you've kind of got an inkling that they're listening and this is in, you're giving them the right type of content. But what you really want to do is lead generation, is create a lead out of this person, really. So at this stage, you can try and answer questions like, you know, what kind of problems are they facing? What sort of things could they really do with knowing that would help fix those problems? And you could do things like Q&As, perhaps. Yeah. You know, it's all content that leads on from what they've potentially seen already. You know, because they've gone through the sort of stranger's phase.
So their guard's down a little bit.
Yeah,
they're interested. It's like a funnel, isn't it? You're right. We're narrowing down, aren't we? To
yeah, exactly.
What their pain points are.
Yeah. So perhaps in a previous video or something, you've talked about an issue that they might be having, but haven't really gone too in depth. In this one, you could, you know, properly answer a question about it, or like, you know, help them fix a problem like more explicitly.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's kind of leading them down that route. Mm-hmm. And then ideally, you know, at the end of it, you should be asking them to do something, which is another common theme that I talk about throughout the whole book. In like in pretty much any video, you should be asking people to take some form of action, which can be quite uncomfortable at first because you think, you know, that you maybe some people find it quite salesy to be like, oh yeah, so if you like this, then please go and sign up for this. Mm-hmm. But you need to think of it more as like you're offering something to them, you know, it's saying if you like this, you'll probably love this other thing that I've created. Yeah. Rather than thinking of it like I've got something to sell you, you know. So yeah, I would say at like the visitor stage, now is the time when you can say, you know, if this has helped you, then I've got this other product or whatever it is that you might love, that's going to help even more. You know, kind of direct them that way. Does that kind of all make sense?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
cool. And then so the lead generation process kind of follows on from that. So this is obviously where we have a list of highly qualified leads who we know are interested because they've kind of explicitly made it aware. Mm-hmm. So this is usually like email subscribers. But again, you could define this any way you want. If most of your audience kind of doesn't use email, and you've got like a YouTube channel or something like that, this could be people who like consistently watch your videos every week, or who watch them, you know, to 100% completion, that kind of thing. Define it any way you want. But ultimately, the most important thing at this stage is, you know, for it to be lead generation and a kind of direct response, truest sense of the word, is that you get their some kind of contact details off them. You take them off the platform where they've seen your original content, and you take them somewhere where it's more like your own media, which I know is something Dan Kennedy talks about as well, isn't it? And people like Ben Settle as well. So this is where, if you think about like how we all know sort of how noisy the online world is now, it's like content galore. So if you've got to this stage, you've already done like pretty damn well in terms of, you know, getting your voice heard, but you could quite easily get forgotten about as well. So a greater chance of you retaining sort of people's attention and getting them to follow you along is to get them off these noisy platforms, take them somewhere like email, or maybe take them to, like, you know, a members area of your site or something like that.
Direct mail.
Yeah, exactly. There's loads of things you could do. But ultimately, that's what we're aiming to do with the lead generation.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, with where I'm at now with my business, is very much lead generation led. It just gives you so much more control. You know, you're in control of everything. You're in control of the message. You're in control of what they hear from you. You're in control of the medium of how they, how often, how frequently, and taking them to somewhere like an email or with the newsletters. We've got some lying around here, haven't we? That I send out monthly. You can't really compare it to the type of stuff that you, without that, you're at the behest of Facebook or YouTube or whoever, aren't
exactly,
you?
Exactly. Yeah.
And their rules and their whims. So it's not an easy thing to do, because it takes work, doesn't it? You know, to write emails or to produce newsletters, and there's an expense there as well to keep them in contact. But and at first you can make a bit of headway doing the free stuff, you know. But as soon as you have like some money to invest. You're making a little bit of money from it, then to me, building a list is crucial. It's non-negotiable, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Certainly what I teach my guys, anyway.
And from experience, and I know, like, you'll back this up, like, most people just stay on the noisy platforms and they kind of don't go beyond that. Mm. And they might have, like, wonderful content out there, but there's so much more they could be doing, you know, with that audience of people. They could be filtering them down into people who are, like, really highly qualified, and taking them elsewhere and delivering, like, exclusive content and stuff, which is ultimately kind of what comes after this.
Yeah, yeah. But
they're not, because, for all kinds of reasons. But, like, a quote in the book here is, content fuels your lead generation. So it's really important to make sure that content is, like, it's representative of what's to follow. And, you know, and going backwards as well. So if you've got, like, really high quality content that leads people to, you know, a lead magnet or whatever it is, you need to make sure that, like, the investment that they make in terms of, like, handing over their contact details is worth it.
True.
So I think the proposition that you're offering at this stage needs to be, like, really valuable.
Yeah.
And, like, say, you know, just to make it simple, say you're offering, like, a video training series, and you're saying, you know, you've seen these one or two videos from me now, and clearly you like them, so I've created a video training series for you. You can get that by going to this page, putting your details in, and then I'll send you it straight away. Like, say that's the thing.
Sure.
You know, you need to make sure that the training from that point, it's all still the same kind of level of quality.
Sure.
It goes without saying that it should be like that for everything you create, really. But, you know, you don't want to risk losing someone's attention and kind of trust of you at this stage, you know, if the thing you're offering them isn't quite up to the mark.
Something substandard, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. It needs to be, you want to be premium, which is what I advise everyone to do, obviously. You need to have premium kind of marketing throughout, really. And if you've got, like, this is why I hate doing promos for people, and I don't really do them anymore. Because if someone just wants an amazing promo video, that's fine. And people might see it and think, like, oh, you know, high quality, brilliant, premium business, I like that. But then if they go through and the rest of their marketing or the rest of their business isn't premium, and it's kind of substandard in that way, then it's like, I feel like it's a bit of a sour deal.
Yeah, and I just don't think that it, I mean, don't get me wrong, they probably do work, but they certainly don't work as well as this, you know, this sort of formula that you're laying out for us here, you know, where with the promo thing, you're kind of putting all your eggs in one basket, aren't you? And you, I don't know if people just aren't as impressed anymore, you know what I mean?
I think that's part of it as well, actually. Yeah.
It's,
because anyone can, and this is me as a videographer saying this, but, like, anyone can pay someone like me to come out and do an amazing job and make a wonderful film. But, like, lots of people do that now, like you said. So it's like, what differentiates you from that point on, really, yeah. Mm. So that's the lead generation side covered. And so the next stage is lead nurturing. And again, I think this is where a lot of people kind of neglect this stage. So the idea is that you've worked on creating and building a list of people who are highly qualified prospects and leads, you know, and they've put their hand up and said, yes, really interested in this. And perhaps you know, you want to, you're leading them towards making a purchase. But again, we shouldn't assume that this is just going to be the core service, because in an ideal world, you would have other things built around your core product or service as well that people can go for. But whatever it is, you're leading them kind of closer to that stage. The important thing here is like follow-up. Follow-up is like the key important thing, isn't it? And the videos that you create for the people on your list and the people who have gone through the lead generation process are going to be kind of profoundly different to the kind of videos you would make for someone who's never heard of you before.
Yeah.
It stands to reason, you know?
In what way?
Well, these types of videos are going to be like, they could be more focused on the lead magnet or whatever it is that you've offered, you know? It could be like additional sort of training. It could be, you could expand upon the ideas that you talk about in the lead magnet, in the report that they've downloaded, or the training
series. Testimonials and stuff now as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. This is like the perfect time to use testimonials. There's never really a bad time to use testimonial videos, but like most people will use them towards the start of the funnel. And so they'll just kind of put them out there and hope that they work. But again, you're kind of falling victim to the same potential problems as creating, you know, the type of content that we mentioned previously. You know, so people might not be interested to even start watching the video in the first place.
Yes.
You know, because you haven't kind of made them aware. It's just a person talking on the screen at the end of the day. Yeah. They haven't been aware of like the problem that you're fixing. And
if you think about that whole like customer journey, I suppose, which you've been describing, they're strangers at the start, aren't they? And then they find out about us. They find out about you. And then you, what was next? Was it the welcoming?
Stranger than visitors.
Yeah. So then they're like a visitor, you know, they want to find out a bit more.
Yeah.
And then you move them on to some kind of lead generation thing. Now at this point, they're going to be fairly interested in your service, aren't they? They might not be convinced to buy yet, or they might not even think that it's suitable for them, but they're obviously interested. They must be if they've signed up and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, what's going to help them, what's going to help move them from being a prospect to be an actual client, to ponying up and spending some money with you? Well, it's going to be hearing from people who've already done that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's where the testimonials, you know, that's where they're perfect to come in, isn't it? And case study type stuff as well, because it enables you to say, you know, it enables you to sort of crawl into the head and say, like, you know, this person, are you like this person who, you know, who's used my service and had these great results?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, potentially up to this stage as well, as you say, this prospect has just heard from you, which is fine, but it's so much more powerful having someone else, you know, chime in and say, yeah, you know, Dom was excellent at doing this service or whatever. You know, it's like, it's validating, isn't it? It's like you're proving the things that you've been sort of claiming up to this point. And in terms of like the logistics and that, I suppose the specifics of doing this kind of lead nurturing up to now, the lead generation, you could do this all through email. So, you know, you could just sort of nurture your leads on the platform of email and just send written emails, but you can use video alongside that as well. So this is again where some people are kind of like, well, Alex, you're a videographer, like why are you saying that we should have an email list and stuff? It's because it's really powerful and because you can use it alongside video. So like just having the word video in your email subject line can boost open rates like massively, because again, even email is getting crowded now, isn't it, as a platform.
Yeah.
So if someone can see a video that you've put in there that is, you know, it's a different way of consuming the content, it might be perfect for them. They might click through and go on to that, and then they've consumed the content in a different way. But follow-up is the key here, and I've wrote in here, it's like it's all just touch points, you know, throughout this whole process. I probably should have said this at the start. Throughout this whole process, it's all based around these little touch points with your customer, with your potential customer, rather than just jumping straight into the sales point. It's like, you know, keeping them aware that you exist, that you can help them, telling them all these stories about how you've helped other people and all the rest of it, so that when the time's right for them, that's when they make the decision to become a customer.
Yeah. Sorry, I was doing no, I was engrossed, Alex.
I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
So we've gone on quite a journey.
Yeah.
And like you said, sometimes it might not take this long, might it? It might, you know, they might be in dire need of your service right now, and they might switch to becoming a customer straight away, you know?
That's true,
I think
that's
what we're on to now, customer.
That's right, yeah. So it's like the final stage, like the final hurdle, I suppose. You know, like, say you've got someone who's
getting them to buy.
yeah, finally. You've got a really highly qualified lead, and it's like, okay, how do you start sort of pitching, I suppose, the core thing that you want to offer them? And the key thing at this stage is like that prospect needs to visualize using your product or service, whatever it is, you know. They need to be able to like really see themselves using or having the thing that you offer to you know, because we don't buy anything logically, do we? Like, we make logical decisions and stuff, but every purchase, I can't remember who originally said this, but like every purchase is like, it's based on emotion, isn't
it?
So even if you've wanted something for a while, like that's like a super practical product or something that's going to help your day-to-day life, you buy it based on emotion. And if like you really want it, and you like your gut feeling says, yeah, I want to get that, then you will, won't you? So it's the same with everything. So you kind of need to tap into that a little bit and think about the emotions that people are going to be feeling sort of pre and post the product or service. So your content, your video content at this stage should be kind of all focused around that. So it's like, so now is the time when you can start talking about the service, you know? But again, you're not talking about the thing itself or even the thing it does. You're talking about like the end result that it gives. So like the quote I've got in the book, the old favorite from Theodore Levitt, is people don't want quarter inch drill bits, they want quarter inch holes. But as our good friend Vicky Fraser says in her book Business for Superheroes, people don't even want quarter inch holes, do they? They want to be able to hang a picture on a wall.
Yeah.
And they don't even want that, like they want to be able to make a house a home.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
it goes so much more so much further beyond the thing that you're offering. So if the more that your video content can delve into that and explain that and kind of play to those emotions that people are going to be feeling, the better, really. And again, throughout all this, it's not a case of like, you know, being sleazy and salesy and you know, deliberately cheesy or anything. It's just like saying, you know, this is how my product or service is going to help you afterwards. This is how it's going to make you feel, you know, because again, we don't buy stuff for the thing it does, buy it because of the way it's going to make us feel afterwards. So,
we want to be appealing to their emotions and selling the benefits.
Yeah. And this is like, it's the same as the last stage, really. So, like, the perfect time to use testimonials all throughout this stage, basically. Because some kind of really powerful social proof could be the thing that gets someone over the barrier.
They could be
sort of 99% of the way there, and they've just got a few objections in their head, maybe. And then if you show them a testimonial video of someone who was in exactly the same situation as them, or they've got some kind of similarity overlapping, then they could think, oh, well, it worked for them. So, yeah, now I'm going to go for it.
And it's a good idea as well, isn't it? Which is something that we don't do enough of. It's a good idea to, like, you could try and address all of the reasons. Maybe it's not in one video, but try and address all the reasons why objections that someone might have to buying your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so actually list them, you know, and then say, right, well, I need a piece of content that deals with this price objection, or I need a piece of content that deals with this I don't have time objection, or I need a piece of content, you know, that deals with this, well, I don't trust myself to do it objection, you know. So it, and then obviously the testimonials that you have, they're gonna, if you get enough of them, that they're your current clients who you've helped and you've had success with whatever it is that you sell them, they're your future prospects are going to have similar, you know, concerns to what your clients have, aren't they? You know what I mean? So you can't, you can't fail to address these worries by sort of using as many testimonials as you can, really.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. And just linking on from the content thing you said there, there'd be nothing stopping you as well. I mean, you know, throughout all this, like, say you create like an awesome video that's about a particular testimonial, or it's, you know, designed for the customers, you know, for the people who are like your leads. There's nothing to stop you from, you know, you shouldn't necessarily make that exclusive just for the people who are on your list. You know, if you put, like you say, if you put that out onto a bit more of like a noisy platform where the strangers and the visitors are, like Facebook or whatever, you know, you'd be silly not to, to use that bit of content and put it out there, because you want to be... There might be someone out there who kind of skips all of this process. You know, thinks, oh yeah, actually, I'm game, and goes ahead and buys the thing without necessarily going through like the lead generation process. But the reason that that is so important is because it gives you the opportunity to follow up, and your kind of communication, the level of communication, it's so more direct and it's much more consistent than the platforms that, like you rightly said before, you kind of have no control over, you know? You could have like loads of wonderful fans and followers on your Facebook page and put content out there, but it might not, it, well, it won't reach all of them, will it? And they might change the rules tomorrow, and they might, hardly as anyone might not see them. But if you've already taken that step and made the effort to get them off that platform and onto the onto email or whatever it is, something kind of more direct and less noisy, then you don't need to worry about that. You know, you can put, you can use the content in the two places, but it just means that like the likelihood of your content getting seen is so much higher.
So let's quickly run through then, Alex. Like a, I've got like a little half moon I've drawn on a piece of paper here. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we've got strangers at one end.
Yeah.
And we've got customers at the other.
I would, either customers, or you can even go one more stage and say like people who are like proper evangelists, like raving fans.
Okay, so there's like a further stage.
Yeah, the final stage I've put in here is just like to delight people. And I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory really, but you know, it doesn't just stop when someone buys something, basically, you know, which most people do. It's like, right, I've got a customer, great, next one.
Yeah.
But really, there's like so much more you could be doing, so much, so many more ways you can be helping people and kind of delighting them, even if that is just sort of, say they buy a physical product from you and you then give them a free video training thing on how to use it on, or like, you know, how to get the most out of it or something, or even your service, if it's a service you offer. Doing something like that that's unexpected is going to make them think like, oh wow, wasn't you know, wasn't expecting this, but that's that's helped me get more value out of this thing I've just bought a lot. You know,
after sales.
So that would be the final stage.
Cool. So we've got strangers at one end of the half moon. We've got customers and then evangelists at the other.
Yeah.
And then we've got...
We've got visitors. So we've got strangers and then visitors.
Yeah.
And then we've got leads after that.
Yeah.
And then, so I guess in within leads, you've got like the generation on one side, and then you've got the nurturing.
Right.
On the
okay.
Other side,
yeah. So we lead generate, and then we warm them up, kind of thing. Yeah?
Exactly.
So
yeah. Yeah.
Lead generate, and then we nurture a little bit. So I'm just trying to make it easy for people to know what kind of where to be putting this different kinds of content, you know.
Yeah.
And I think you should have an understanding of lead generation. If you don't, you need to read. You know, you need to read the chapter on that, whatever, don't you, to find out. You know, how it works, because this is how it fits in a lot more. But the the stranger stuff, that's the kind of thing that you're just going to be putting out like anywhere where your clients are going to be hanging around, aren't they? You know, so social or any of that. Yeah, Facebook, that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Then with the sort of visitor stuff, that's content that's possibly going to go like on your website, maybe, or maybe it's in a Facebook group that you might run, or some, or your page. Or what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, website, or you could even get more into it and set up like a custom audience on Facebook.
Yeah,
if they've if they've watched all of a previous video or several of them or something, you know that they're pretty interested, or you can assume they are, so you can. You could make a custom audience for those people.
For those people, perhaps, yeah. And the visitor character. Then we're talking about the, sort of with the lead generation stuff, we're talking about delivering the content in almost in a private way, aren't we? You know, so we're delivering them some kind of content, but then we're going to be following up with them and nurturing them, like you say, through email or is it a Facebook group, or maybe it's in another custom audience even after that you could potentially do, didn't you, with the Facebook adverts.
Yeah.
Or with maybe it's a bit of direct mail or a postcard or something like that. You know, it's like you're moving. There are different areas where you're going to be using this content, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. And like I sort of said a few times previously, like in a way, this book isn't about video because, like at this stage, like the lead generation and nurturing doesn't necessarily have to include video. Even you know, you could just have an email list and never use video.
Yeah.
But crucially, what I'm persuading people to do is use video as your content beforehand, and then use it throughout the process to help bring them at that stage. Yeah. But as I said, you could, if you're making content that's exclusive for your leads and people, I would make a point of telling them that it is exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, and say like, you won't get this anywhere else. Mm. This is designed just for you or whatever. You know, be genuine about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you want to use, you know, you could just use your email list as a way, as I said before, as a way of making sure that people are like much more likely to see your content.
Yes.
Saying, you know, I just put a video up on my YouTube channel today. Here's mm-hmm. the link. And that could be it.
Yeah.
But it's, at least if you've done that, you know that the people who are like avid readers of mm-hmm. your emails are mm-hmm. then going to go and watch the video.
Yeah.
Rather than if they were just subscribed, they might just miss it, you know.
Or... And again, you're giving, aren't you? You're giving.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving them information. You're saying, hey, "Look at this stuff," kind of thing. You know, that you might find useful because you've shown interest in similar stuff before. And
exactly,
it's all just going to help with the whole nurture process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that is pretty much a whistle stop tour of taking people from strangers all the way to customers. And like we said, you know, and like in the example of me with the band that we mentioned before, you know, for that and for many of your customers, they won't need to go through this journey. You know, they will just kind of jump and leapfrog all the way to being a customer, but not all of them will. and that's where I think most business owners are missing out, really, is that they're missing a big opportunity, leaving money on the table by kind of forgetting about this journey that a lot of us do go through. And for a lot of us, you know, depending on the thing we're buying, this could take months
or years. Yeah, for sure.
And like, you kind of need to accept that if it's appropriate to the thing you're selling, you know?
Yeah.
And really, if you're selling stuff that's quite high ticket maybe, and, you know, that people might have to take a little bit of time to think about, you'd be silly not to have a system like this in place, really. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So that's that.
Marvellous, Alex. Thank you very much for that.
No worries. Thank you.
As always, I've learned a lot. I'm sure the listeners will learn a lot too. And so, final plug for the book then. What's the name of it? Where can we get a copy?
It's Grow Your Business with Video. And you can get it by going to artifactmedia.co.uk, or you can get it off Amazon, or you can get the audiobook as well.
Marvellous. I might even buy a copy.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alex.
Cheers, Dom.